In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's the summer, which usually translates into doldrums in the church, more so than usual. Usually low attendance is compounded by people taking vacations, going camping, or simply enjoying the better weather away from church. It seems the last place anyone wants to be at this time is in church, and I suspect a good number of pastors feel the same way. Consequently, the numbers in the offering plates drop too. First, because people aren't in church, and second, because what income they do have goes to those vacations and camping trips. This is a fact to which the treasurer here has attested and will likely do so again in a couple of hours. By all appearances, the church doesn't make it any easier. The summer is dominated by green, occasionally broken up with a dash of white and a splash of red. Nevertheless, all of this green feels tedious. To top it off, this time of the church year, these Sundays after Trinity or Pentecost, are often referred to as ordinary time, which means the other portion of the year must be extraordinary time, right? You'll hear it from me again, sounding tedious, when I give my report in a couple of hours, as the number of extraordinary dates between today and our next meeting is few. So there's a whole lot of green. Humanity has a heightened sense of the mundane. And you and your fellow saints are not immune to this sense. Just think about it. Week after week, you sing the same liturgy and hymns, you recite the same prayers and creeds, and you come here and go at the same times. It's all routine. And increasingly difficult the longer you stay at it to see God's work in it. It's all so ordinary. There's no sense of the sacramental or sense of the marvel, or concept of the miraculous. It could be a result of humanity's continued march toward modernity, or post-modernity, or post-post-modernity, and the ever-increasing ease and longevity with which life is met, thanks to technological advances. But I would argue that these are only exacerbate what is already present, and has been for millennia, thanks to the inbred sin of old Adam. But you are a Christian, forgiven and freed from that, eyes open to the reality of the world and God. What's wrong with you? As a friend of mine once said, when did we trade in the sacramental view of the world, that is, the ability to see God at work in everything, for a view of the world framed by cynicism, a church framed by pettiness, and gospels reduced to that which is tedious? Miraculously, marvelously, sacramentally, it is into this doldrum, ordinary world that the Savior was conceived and born. To this world did God condescend in the flesh of His created humanity. Here, Jesus brought His kingdom. Here, God had compassion on a world, a people so used to the ordinary and blinded by the mundane that they had no idea of the deep need they had for Him. Ordinary. That is exactly how Jesus looked and acted too. He had ordinary flesh and blood, as any ordinary man would. His appearance is even described as ordinary. He lived a pretty ordinary life. An infant, a toddler, a child obeying and learning from Joseph and Mary. Perhaps he had an apprenticeship as a carpenter under Joseph. then moving on to becoming a teacher. If there was anything extraordinary there, it was the following he had during those last three or so years of his earthly life. Then he was brought before the council and the governor as an ordinary criminal and executed as one on a cross, as the Romans ordinarily did, where he shed his ordinary blood and died an ordinary, if not quick, and excruciating death. That's how it all looked. But there was always more going on than those blinded by the mundane would have a difficult time seeing, and still do. A few ordinary loaves of bread and fish become a meal for over 4,000 or over 5,000. An ordinary teacher dies a criminal's death, by which is won forgiveness, salvation, life, and peace with God. The fruits of that ordinary death are conferred on you by ordinary washing. Your place in him is recounted for you time and again, as an ordinary man speaks ordinary words to you. And in that teacher's ordinary death, his flesh and blood becomes a meal of righteousness for countless billions, including you, though concealed in ordinary bread and wine. All of this he does because he has compassion. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. The Benedictus from morning prayer is sung. So the priest Zacharias sang of his son, John the Baptist, who would go before the Lord to prepare his way. Which way is that? The way of compassion. For as the psalmist declares for you, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will have compassion on his servants. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. In compassion, Jesus fed over 4,000, died a criminal's death for your salvation, joined his word to water to baptize you, had his word proclaimed into your ears to forgive you, joins his word to bread and wine to feed you his body and blood. You would rightly call all of those things miracles, and rightly so. But do you believe it? I would contend that if you and all the saints of God truly comprehended the miraculous work of God through ordinary means, I would have a line of people at my office door seeking holy absolution. I would hear no end to the requests for the Lord's Supper at every opportunity, even seeking more opportunities for the Lord's Supper. If the sense of the miraculous would overcome the sense of the mundane, there would be no end to what happened at this place. Except to break for meals, to see to your own vocations, and to rest for the night. And even then, people would be anxious for more. Even Dr. Luther wrote, "If you could see how many knives, darts, and arrows are at every moment aimed at you, you would be glad to come to the sacrament as often as possible." But there is no reason why we walk so securely and heedlessly, except that we neither think nor believe that we are in the flesh and in this wicked world or in the kingdom of the devil. Yet I suppose come Tuesday morning, should I be in my office, there will be no line. There will be no one here except me. My phone will not be ringing off the hook. I'll have no text messages or emails requesting the Lord's Supper or an extra service. That sense of the mundane and ordinary is comfortable. Nevertheless, while it may be ordinary time, that doesn't mean that the extraordinary doesn't happen, even if it all looks and feels ordinary and mundane. The message of the gospel is anything but tedious. But that's what Christians on earth make of it. Jesus Christ and His church give you a sacramental view of the world, and it's you who would rather swap that out for the doldrums and pettiness and cynicism. But take comfort, dear hearers. What you make of it all, how you perceive it all, does not make it what it is. The bread and the fish may have been ordinary to the disciples, but they miraculously fed over 4,000 at the word of Jesus. The water, the words, the bread and the wine may seem ordinary to you, but they are for you Jesus Christ and Him crucified for you. They are your forgiveness, life, and salvation. You don't make these things what they are or are not, no matter how cynical you are or how mundane you perceive them to be. The Word of God declares to you what they are, and He does not lie to you about what He is doing. They are for you the constant miracle and extraordinary working of the God become flesh among you. So God still works through ordinary means. You have the water and the words. You have the bread and the wine. You have this ordinary building where God deigns to come among you in word and sacrament. And you have each other, as by His bidding and guiding, you perform works of love and charity for each other and your community, serving your neighbor as he or she is placed by God before you, whomever they may be and however they may appear to you, whether you would think highly of them or otherwise despise them. To them, you may seem ordinary and mundane, but you are to them a little miracle from God, there to do your good deeds to them as God has ordained. They may not give it a second thought or show you much gratitude, much as you, dear Christian, may not give a second thought to what happens to you by grace, mercy, and compassion of your God and Jesus Christ, who came to be your brother, or like the 9 lepers, show Him much gratitude. But again, He has come. And while He may have looked ordinary and done some ordinary looking, mundane and perhaps tedious things, yet they are for you no minor miracle. You who were once enemies of God and are now His friends, and more than that, His sons. Through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and your brother in the flesh, you have been reconciled to God. Where once there was enmity, there is now peace. A peace which this mundane, ordinary world cannot give. A peace which says that you are forgiven for all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.